Sadie Boots. And let's talk crazy.
Welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Crazy. I'm Shady Boots, a peer provider and your resident expert for everything crazy. On this episode, we're going to talk about getting your groove back and keeping that spark in your sex life, especially after you thought you've lost the fire. So with this episode, I'm not so much going to talk about the diagnosis or mental health diagnosis as much as I'm going to talk about keeping the spark in your sex life with a chronic illness. With the bipolar disorder, personally, I didn't experience a lot of difficulty with my intimacy and my relationships. Difficulty with intimacy was more about some things I had experienced in my childhood. And then once I actually was able to go to therapy and address those things, I think the mood for sex became more like either during those down moments, the moments of depression, you're just not really up for it. But then the moments of mania is like a little bit over sexualized. So I think balancing those two things would have been like the most difficult. And for me, it was more of avoidance. So I kept myself very, very busy, especially if I was not in a relationship, because it's very difficult for me to have casual sex. It's just something, I guess that's the way that I cope with some of the things that I've dealt with in my life that would have affected my intimacy in relationships with my partner. But when chronic illness set in, there was just a lot of different things that happened. I was always a person who didn't wear tennis shoes, and so I always wore heels. But when chronic illness set in, it was something about my life I had to change. And so I started feeling a little inadequate, maybe not as sexy as I felt before in my clothes, and that kind of spilled over into my intimate relationship with my partner at the time. I mean, even though people say, okay, sex isn't everything, we can say that, but it's definitely a way that we as humans connect, especially couples when we're in this relationship, right? So being physical is another way for us to express our emotions and another way for us to connect with each other. It's also a healthy aspect of our identity, okay, when we're interacting. But chronic pain comes in and you're having a happy, healthy sex life, and suddenly that topic is no longer part of your conversation with your partner. And sometimes for reasons that you wouldn't even expect, because we talk about having the pain and that getting in the way a lot. But sometimes, even if you're managing your pain, especially with medication, there are side effects to certain medications that actually interfere with your sex life. For the most part, pain medications actually cause trouble with blood flow and hormones. And those are the two most important factors in a healthy sex life, right? You got blood flow that is going to the penis, right? So it could create some erectile dysfunction issues, right? Especially if you're already not feeling good about yourself, that just piles on top of that. Sometimes stress associated with what kind of changes you have to make because of chronic pain, like there may be depression, changes in roles, right? And that could create stress on a relationship. It could affect your employment. Sometimes you can't continue in the same job that you had before, and maybe you have a difficult time becoming employed, which also affects the finances in the relationship as well. And then there's also your partner being concerned. A lot of people really think that partners are not interested in them anymore. But sometimes I think we get in our own way thinking that, number one, right, we're having this emotional response and we're feeling a bit inadequate. Not just because we're having the pain, or not just because maybe we don't like how we look anymore, or maybe we can't wear the clothes or shoes, or there's certain things we can't do anymore. Like, I wasn't able to do my own hair, right? So I struggled with, like, okay, what am I going to do about my hair? And I just stressed about so many things. I started losing my hair, and then I was stressing about losing my hair. So there's just so many things that we go through. But also with our partner, we may start thinking, okay, I was thinking, I'm losing my hair, right? And I have to cut it all off because my partner's not attracted to me. And so I'm like avoiding every situation I can, right? Just so that I don't have to feel let down or feel disappointed that my partner's going to say no. Maybe not knowing that the whole time my partner is just trying to figure out, like, if I'm in pain or if it's okay to hug, Because some pain levels can be so extreme that it actually hurts to the physical touch, especially when you're talking about arthritis and dealing with a lot of swelling, and so it could just be sensitive to the touch. Also, with neuropathy, you can actually have no feeling, or you can have this intense, very intense feeling from your nerves, right? And it can be so intense that it's actually painful. So yes, a hug can actually cause a tear to drop. And I never used to really understand that because my mom would always try to say that to me. She has rheumatoid arthritis as well. And I would never understand that. But then when I started experiencing some things, it'd be those extreme times, especially in the winter, where yeah, it hurts to sit down and it hurts for people to touch. And so it can be difficult and it can be quite irritating. So it's not necessarily that our partner doesn't want to be with us. I think there's more of a confusion of, okay, what can I do, right? So those are the things that we're trying to address. The funny thing though is when you go and you want to talk to your doctor, no one ever really brings up the topic of sex. For me, my doctor never brought that up. We never had that conversation. However, once I got to physical therapy, because I tried everything that I could, so once I got to physical therapy, I had a female therapist. And so for some reason I felt comfortable and I decided since she said, "Well, what things do you do in your regular life?" I'm like, "Well, I want to be able to do some exercises." And so now I don't know what to do. So she showed me those things. And on my next visit, I just thought, I'm just going to ask her, right? And so I didn't want to ask a man. I think a man would take it more sexual, so I probably would not feel comfortable. And that's just me personally. But since I had a female there, I just blurted it out and was like, you know, this could be a long shot, but is there any way that you have some suggestions for sexual activity? And oh my gosh, she was like, yes, I do. And I wasn't expecting that, but she was like all ready for it and she gave me a lot of tips. And they actually ended up being very helpful. So I definitely want to put that out on the PGPS, Pretty Girl Passion Society site. To help individuals understand that you can still have a healthy relationship because sex is so good for you. One thing you have to understand is with the medication, that is external or chemical, okay? Endorphin. So what it's doing is mimicking your body's natural response because you're either not releasing enough serotonin or endorphins. And endorphins are really, really, really good for you, and it's really, 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 really good for your pain, right? And the one source or one of the sources, huge source, okay, of a flow of endorphins is an orgasm, right? So if you can actually get to that point, right? Wasn't that perfect how it dinged right then? If you can actually get to that point, because we have a lot of articles about that, a lot of information about balancing life, managing life with your children, but what we really want to know, or at least what I really wanted to know, because we had figured that out, is I want to know how to please my partner and keep my partner engaged with this new thing that's going on in my life. Because it definitely becomes a lifestyle. That's what people have to understand. It just becomes something that you manage in your life now, like someone manages allergies, right? And we don't think of that as something that could ruin a relationship because we find a way to work around it. We find a way so that it's minimized in our lives. And that is my whole point and my whole goal when I work with my clients too. There are things that seem to be a big obstacle. Find a way to make that a smaller obstacle that you can jump over or you can go around, right? And when it comes up, you always have those options. Should I jump over it? Should I go around? Should I go through? And so that's always my focus. What are the options, right? So, number one. If you are not comfortable, say you had surgery, because I've had a couple of those, especially ones that really affected my intimacy and my relationship, where you're restricted from activity for a while and things like that. So it's always kind of tricky, and each person is different, each partner is different, how you feel comfortable moving forward after the time frame that your doctor has allowed. And maybe sometimes you still have pain, and maybe some people would not have pain. Maybe also, you've had some effects with your hormones, and maybe your drive now has gone down. Maybe you just don't feel as confident about your body. I'm a person who keloids or whatnot, so when I have surgery, I'm always concerned about the keloiding, which is an overgrowth, right? So not just having a scar, but it will be a very visible and noticeable scar, okay? Almost like topography or something like that. But yeah, so for me, that's something I'm very, very, very self-conscious about. So things like that definitely get in the way of how we feel and how we respond to our partner, right? And our partner doesn't want us to feel inadequate or feel unloved. And so they're kind of left in this space, like wondering, what can I do, right? And so now we have the both of you in this space trying to figure out how to repair and maintain a relationship that you've always loved while it's kind of deteriorating, right? Because you're not really communicating. So that's the first thing. Communication is key. You want to be in a space where you can talk to your partner. Sometimes it's so frustrating what you're going through with the pain and the irritation, right? And trying to figure out which medication is going to help you manage the best, when to take it, when not to take it, right? What side effects do you need to manage from that medication as well? Okay, how does it interfere with your life? So you kind of get caught up with those things. But once you get in this space and you've got that managed, then it's still important to take care of your relationship. So let's get right into that. I don't really like to talk personal, but I definitely will give some great suggestions that I definitely have used and that I've definitely exchanged with other women having the same conversations, okay? So when we talk to our partners and we open up that communication, it's easy to say, oh, you never hug me anymore, right? But sometimes it's also easy for us to forget that maybe the one time they hugged us, we kind of like went off, or maybe we had like a disgusted look on our face. I know I've had my partner express that to me before. I was dealing with a different issue actually. And I guess I would kind of like look like I was off into the distance. And it kind of would be that, because it would be like a flash of a memory. And then I try to bring myself back into the space I was in. Well, my partner would be experiencing that the whole time. But he never asked me and I never explained it. It was later on, years later, that we actually addressed the issue. And it was just a point of miscommunication. But my partner was feeling as if I was not interested in what was going on. Had we been able to communicate, right, then we would have been able to resolve that issue a little bit earlier on. So we definitely have the tendency, and I say we because I definitely don't get it right all the time. But we have the tendency to say to someone, you do this or you do that. And really those I statements are so important. Well, what do I mean by an I statement? So instead of saying, you know what, you never give me hugs anymore, I don't understand what's going on, it's better to say, you know what, I got two phrases. I really miss when we hug or getting touched by you. I really miss that, right? And it lets your partner know that you do want to engage in that activity. And now you have also expressed that you're interested, right? So we can kind of remedy that without having to blame your partner for all that's going on. Because honestly, there's just a stream of emotions that we go through, okay? There's a range of them, and there's a few stages that we go through, almost like grief, really, with chronic illness, okay? So you have to go through the denial, the readjustment, the acceptance, all of those things. I think what we forget, though, is our partner's also going through all of those emotions with us, but from the outside, right? So there's a lot of other things they're dealing with. And maybe they are dealing with adjusting to new roles. For example, with me, I used to be the individual who worked all day and I like to cook for my family. So I come home and I make dinner. But then with the chronic illness, it became very difficult for me to do that. All my energy would be spent at my 9-to-5 job and it would be difficult for me to vacuum or for me to cook. Wash dishes, I would have to choose like which activities I could do and then rest up to be able to report to my job again. So the family was taking on a lot of other responsibilities that before they didn't have to do. And that can be frustrating as well. It can be frustrating because maybe you're used to doing things a certain way and sometimes you can fuss at people, right? But we have to understand that as long as the task is getting done, the path in which that's taken doesn't matter. Sometimes people could just do things differently. As long as the end result happens, we really shouldn't worry about it too much. So I always tell my clients, focus on that. always your feelings, because you don't really know what your partner feels if you guys have not talked. So using the you statements is probably not a good idea, because now your partner is feeling attacked and blamed, right? When they want to feel a part of the situation and a part of the solution, now the partner is feeling like part of the problem instead. So definitely I statements. I miss when we hug. I miss those things. And what's nice is if you can get in the space to actually be touched, okay, and want that and cuddle up, just touching skin, okay? It's one of the things that's important. If you've ever had a baby and they do the skin to skin, I've had three over time, and I tell you the truth, they haven't always done that with the dads. So that's really cool that they encourage the dads to do skin to skin, because it definitely connects you, just like it connects to the mom. And a lot of moms, the first thing they do is lay the baby on you, right? To make a connection to mom. So why not dad too? And that totally, totally works. And so in our relationships, touching is important, even if we're not having sexual activity, right? There's no penetration. Just that touching releases endorphins. It does something scientifically to us, releases endorphins that also help our pain. Now, this is where we come in with the foreplay, right? That's what we really need to talk about, because if you're not really in the mood, how do you get in the mood? I have found that sometimes I just have to do it, right? Like at first, to commit to one day a week. Well, it depends on what your frequency is. Let me just put that out there. But let's just say, if you're regularly the one day a week person, okay, twice a month. Start off small and work your way up is what I say. But check this out. If you're the once a week person, right, it's cool to schedule things. I don't think it's a bad thing, because at least you can adjust your activity so you can be ready, right? You could be ready for the activity. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. But what if your schedule is so irregular that you really can't figure it out? Then why not be spontaneous, right? You can have a little bag or a little thing that you do. And it doesn't always have to be so super involved, in my opinion. Okay? They have this little thing they call quickies or whatever. So if you jump up in the morning and you're feeling kind of froggy, why not take your shower time, right? Two birds, one stone. A little quickie really quick. Intimacy with your partner is the best way to start your day, okay? And you're already in the shower. You could just wash up, boop, hop out, get ready, right? You gotta do that little stuff in between. But I tell you this, if you're not a shower type of person, then the best thing that you can do is keep a little goodie bag under the bed, okay? I call it a love me bag. And really, it's for you and your partner. Now, I speak from a lady's point of view, so men, y'all gonna have to figure it out. But this is what I suggest for my clients. Keep a little something sexy under there, okay? And you can still wear sexy shoes is what I found out. You know how? Because in the bedroom, you don't need to walk around. I always used to tease this one person. We love shoes so much. We used to work together. Except her shoes would be like the 6-inch heels, right? At the office. And sometimes they were bad though. Like nice shoes. But I would tease her sometimes and say, those look like shoes that need to be in the air, not on the ground. And that's exactly what I suggest. Get you a nice pair of sexy shoes. Maybe you can't wear them around all day or step out to the office or even around the bedroom, honey. But what you can do is put them on, okay? And you can be on the edge of the bed doing other things. Like we know about the doggy style. You could do that with those shoes on. You can even do missionary with those shoes on, right? And only the shoes on. It's the only thing you have to put on. You don't got to worry about getting twisted and tied up in some type of negligee or anything like that. It's the only thing you got to put on. And for my ladies, any lady who wears a bonnet to bed because her hair is fried, dyed, and laid to the side, you're going to have to take that off, okay? I've talked to many of my male clients, and there's just not a way that you can make a bonnet sexy. So, it's been a hard week. You've been getting through, and you want to give your partner some loving. I'm going to need you to take off that bonnet and put on those high heels and put your legs up. He'll be so proud of that. And if you can't do that, just get you something that you could put on really quick. Nothing too fancy, because sometimes I find with arthritis, I'm not going to be able to do all that. But you know what I've also found out? That once I get through the act, I jump up there like a spring chicken. You know why? Because all of those endorphins. So it is temporary pain relief, but so is medication, right? And medication doesn't help me get closer to my partner, but this does. So I am an advocate for staying active and figuring out what you could do. Another thing that I think is important when you're trying to be active and get back engaged with your partner physically is you are going to have to learn to laugh at yourself, because sometimes you're just not going to find out little quirky things or workarounds until you're really in it, and you can let it ruin the moment, or you can take a giggle with your partner and you guys could take a moment to figure out, all right, that doesn't work. What are we going to do now? You know what I mean? But don't let it get you so frustrated that you ruin the moment and now you're not engaged with your partner, right? They understand. And I think it's fun to explore. And this will be another thing. It'll make you feel like a teenager again, right? So if you can't put your leg up that high, that's okay. Ask your partner, hey, you're gonna have to hold it up. Tell them you're gonna have to hold it up. And if they can't hold it up, then we have to switch. If you don't have to stop, then you know, try to continue. And I have not found that to be of any complaint, and I guarantee you. I've also had some situations where my back pain actually felt better. I remember being a social worker, and I had a client who had a one-year-old, and she had extreme back pain. I started thinking, how is she doing all of that? And that's seriously how I think. I was like, she must be faking, because how is she taking all of that up and down and she has back problems? Well, what I will tell you this is there are certain positions that actually work for back relief. Can you believe it? So now here I am being intimate with my partner and relieving some back pain. Oh, come on. So I know we don't talk about it a lot. And what I really want to do is go ahead and release the guide, you know, kind of like a chronic pain Kama Sutra, helping you get through, quick flip guide. I definitely want to print that out for you guys soon. But just know that sex is good for you. It makes you feel better, and you shouldn't be afraid of it. What you need to do is figure out a way to talk with your partner. If you first need to talk with your doctor about your medications, because like I mentioned before, medications can cause certain side effects. So you can address it with your doctor first, and don't be afraid. Once I started having the conversation with my therapist, it became very easy to have a conversation if that person could help me with it. But definitely with my doctor, where I had not before. And they can actually suggest different medications if that's one of your concerns. But oftentimes we don't voice what our concerns are for our life, okay? And so you have to know that you are the first advocate for your health and for your mental health. So it's important that you ask these questions. So definitely address the medication issues. And definitely, if you're having some emotional struggles, especially with the change management in your life, the change in identity, perhaps. Some people identify by their jobs or their roles in their family. So when those things change, they also lose an identity. I know for me, I just really had a difficult time feeling feminine and feeling sexy. My whole sexy identity was in my shoes, because I've always been like a heavy gown. And so for me, I couldn't always wear all the clothes that I found attractive or whatnot, because it didn't fit my body type for me. But my shoes, it really didn't matter what my weight was ever. I could always wear any pair of shoes. And so I always like identify my sex appeal with my shoes that I was wearing, like set off my outfit. So then when it became a problem for me, even after carrying flats and heels so I could switch out between the two, and then I just couldn't do it anymore. I didn't want to go out, and I didn't go out. So I didn't go out with my friends anymore, because I felt like, oh, everywhere I go, I'm not going to look dressed up because I don't have my heels. Or all my friends are going to look better than me because they're going to have all these like cute shoes, right? Because I roll with girls who have cute shoes. And I'm like, oh, and I'm just going to be so envious. I'm like, I never wanted a tennis shoe in my life, and they're not cute. And I went through a moment of like shopping for flats and things like that. And I just kept saying that, like, this would look better with a heel. This would look better with a heel. But I had to change my thinking, and I finally settled into a style that worked for me. Still wearing the same jewelry, the same kinds of clothes, but definitely wearing flat tennis shoes. I still look dressed up. I still feel sexy. But it took me a moment to actually work with that change, okay? And when we're not feeling sexy, it really doesn't matter if our partner thinks we're the sexiest thing in the world, okay? Especially as a woman. I don't know how it works for a man, but I wouldn't think it's much different from the expressions that I've heard from my clients. But when you're not feeling your best, there's just not one thing that any other person can do, okay? And I think that works in every part of our life, right? If we're not content with that part of our life, there's nothing that anyone can say, there's not one thing that anyone can do that can lift us up in that area and to re-satisfy there. And I think it goes that way for men and for women. So if we're dealing with those type of emotional things and losing our identity, it is not a bad idea to talk to a therapist, get in a peer support group as well. You could do both at the same time. Talk to friends, talk to people experiencing some of the same things. If you know people in your family or in your social circles, definitely talk to someone about that. And then you'll find that you're not the only person struggling. Because I remember thinking that, like, none of my friends are going through this. You know what I mean? None of my friends are having these physical issues. They're just not going to understand. But there are just some core things that happen. Even though I may be going through chronic illness, my friend could be going through a rough time in the relationship. And it has some of the same core things happening where we can relate to each other. So I found that as well. And then I found out that there were some individuals who were struggling with anxiety and stuff like that. So I thought they could not identify with some of the problems I was having in my relationship, but they totally could. We just never talked about it. So that happens a lot. Don't be afraid to communicate and definitely get in a place where you can feel good about yourself, because not one person is going to be able to make you happy or boost your self-esteem. That's one thing or two things I stand by. Happiness is your responsibility, and your self-esteem is the responsibility of yourself, not anyone else. So to build your self-esteem and to allow someone to tear it down is completely our responsibility. So for emotional problems, definitely address that and get in a space where you could feel good about yourself and feel good about interacting and reconnect with yourself again. A lot of people say, oh, I need to find myself. We're not lost, but you need to reconnect with yourself, with who you are, and feel comfortable with that. As you feel comfortable with that, you're going to exude so much love, right? Because when you're not comfortable, we kind of express these emotions that are irritable, that are angry, sad, right? They say misery loves company, but that's a draining energy, right? And so when people see people that want to be around and like, oh, I just got to be around that person, they never say, oh, because they're sad, because they're always grumpy, because they're mean to me. They never say that, right? People are attracted to individuals who are upbeat, who are making the best of life. I hear that a lot. People are like, oh, you're still upbeat. Well, there was a time when I was not upbeat, right? I had to come to that space. But I noticed the change when I was really down on myself and I didn't like the fact that I was going through it and my life was changing. Like, not many people called me to go out anyway, right? And then when they did, I wasn't very nice about doing it and I didn't show up. And it would be a place where I would think, oh, they didn't invite me. But at the same time, how many times do you invite someone and they say no, right? That's just natural. So once I started understanding that and moving into a space where I felt comfortable with myself, I noticed that people were like, oh, I love being around you. And I'm like, well, this and that. And they're like, but you just make the best of it. And I thought, oh, people really love that, right? So your situation's not different. You're still experiencing pain, right? You're still experiencing depression at times, things like that, especially if you deal with a mental health diagnosis that includes depression. You're still dealing with all those things, but the way that you're managing, okay, it works. And you're definitely taking the best of your life and maximizing that and letting the worst of your life be minimized. I found that's important. Without having a home, with being evicted, all types of things in my life, I found that not letting the negative be maximized in my life always brought me the greatest pleasure and the greatest circle of individuals to interact with. So definitely deal with those emotional problems. And definitely learning to communicate is important, including your partner in the conversations, asking your partner how they're feeling, and not forgetting that they're also experiencing this with you. Maybe they're not going through the pain. Maybe they're not going to all the doctor's appointments and taking all the medication and changing to all the diets. Maybe they're not doing that, okay? But what they are doing is they're seeing you go through it. okay, and your partner wants to solve it, and it's something that they can't solve. So that can make a person feel helpless. You're feeling helpless because of the pain and the situation you're in, but they're feeling helpless because they can't change it for you, right? So you got to remember that you guys are in this together. And when we talk about intimacy, you're in that together as well. So if you're not able to talk to your partner alone, that's also something you can consider, is having a group therapy. Or even if you had a group of friends, right? You're more comfortable with your friends, you can start with that. Maybe have like a game night or something of that sort and invite all the couples over, and you can open up that conversation. But definitely, it's a conversation that needs to be had, because your partner wants to know what you're comfortable with when you're in pain, okay? Like, your partner doesn't want to be intimate if it's going to cause you pain. I know sometimes I might feel like, oh, I have to do this because I don't want to lose my partner. But in all actuality, it's no fun for either of us, right? If it's not a great experience and someone's not having fun. So remember that your partner's in it with you. Sometimes we forget to be available to them and also ask about their feelings. So I would suggest being intimate just first starts with that communication. Be honest about what you want and be honest about your limitations, right? What you can do. And I'm telling you, your partner's going to be all in. And this would be one of those times that if you have not figured out a safe word, go ahead. You don't always have to be into S&M and things like that. Not that I would know about it, but you don't always have to be into those things to have a safe word. So that's another thing. If you're experiencing a level of pain that you're not able to bear during your interaction, then have the word that you can say that doesn't necessarily ruin it, but you can change, you know, to a different position. Or maybe there's a word that says, okay, we're going to have to go to our go-to position, right? That way no one's ruining the mood and everyone stays connected. So soon we'll be putting out the position book. I think it's definitely going to help. It's a real, real thing. And I'm hoping that you guys are thinking about getting engaged and opening up that communication tonight. See you next time.